You're listening to The Cinemaniacs for July 13th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what your space is. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to The Cinemaniacs, your weekly podcast where we talk about movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose. This week we're going to be talking about P.S. I Love You, Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D, and Sherry Baby.
Yep.
I forgot to get out some news.
Batman's coming out.
Oh, Batman's coming out next week, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
What do you think? Midnight showing?
Hell yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll do the
I'm down
show.
For that. That's exciting.
Yeah, cool.
I have to work.
Oh, even better.
Was this the 13th? Not even 2 weeks away. They're having a 25th anniversary showing of War Games in the movie theater. They're going to have never-before-seen interviews with the cast and a sneak peek at War Games 2, which I've already watched the trailer. It's kind of like a modern retelling of number one, just probably not as good, straight-to-video right. type of thing.
Ooh.
But War Games on the big screen. That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
The
movie,
yeah.
The movie that got me into computers
right.
You know, back 25 years ago.
So you went to the theater and saw it originally 25 years ago?
I sure did. The Cinemas 123 downtown next to El Cortez.
Right on.
I remember.
Didn't yeah. they turn it into a reggae summer. Bar after a while?
That's something like
that's
that.
That's so cool.
It's either got sucked up by the El Cortez Casino or is a reggae bar or something like that. Yeah. If it's building still standing,
if
I don't know.
If it's there.
That's
remember
great.
The Cinemas 123?
That's where I saw Star Wars when they re-released Star Wars and had the preview for Empire.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
how
where I saw
cool.
that. Yeah.
It was just a three movie theater little yeah. thing.
That back in the great. Day.
Back in 1983, I went there many times during the summer.
Yeah.
Saw Psycho 2 there, Twilight Zone, the movie.
Yeah. I only saw a few movies there. I mean, a couple
Psycho
of,
2, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. But it still is a cool theater.
It's cool. Oh, old yeah. school style. Wooden chairs,
yep.
no cup holders.
Nope.
Yeah. Probably even cost a buck to get in or something.
Something like
gotta
that.
Got to buy your tickets on the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. The window is like right on the street. There.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's so many movie theaters that make you nostalgic, like that one or the Huntridge.
Yeah.
The drive-ins.
The Parkway.
Course. The Parkway.
Oh,
the
yeah, Parkway. That was cool.
The Parkway had a 700-seat movie theater.
Parkway was awesome. It had two theaters and the screens were gigantic.
Was it two or three?
Two.
Two.
Two,
two yeah.
screens,
yeah.
man.
I saw a bunch that was the largest theater in town.
Hello.
It was
hello.
Awesome.
700 seats. Can you imagine the auditorium size?
It was
we don't
huge.
Have to imagine. We were there.
No, it was great.
My brother Jerry was worked there for a while.
I know. I remember. And
yeah, Red Rock.
And then I remember them picketing outside the Parkway for Last Temptation of Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're showing that. Martin Scorsese.
Yep. Yeah, the last time I was in the Huntridge, though, was for a concert.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was that with us?
No.
Yeah. No? Concrete Blonde?
Concrete Blonde.
Yeah.
No, you were
that
with
was
us.
With us.
Was it?
Yeah.
Unless you saw it at them again there.
No. He went with his date.
I went with a date.
Yeah. And us. We had a double date.
Oh. Then yeah. I have seen him twice.
You because you were digging on how Lisa was knew like all the words to all the songs and everything like that.
So I've seen Concrete Blonde twice.
Have you?
Yeah.
This was the one where she started yelling at the guys because they were doing a little mosh pit.
Yeah, and they're throwing the kid
stuff,
around.
Yeah, they're moving the kid around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was it.
All right. Right on.
Because it was like
well, you were
the
really
last tour.
On whoever you were with.
It was right before they broke up.
Yeah.
Right before Concrete Blonde broke up.
Oh, no, and right before we broke up, too.
I was trying to be politically correct.
No, it's true, though. It is true. It was right before the band broke up and right before the person I was with and me broke up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that was a good show. Yeah,
that was a great show.
I don't even remember you guys being there.
I apparently
it must have been
not.
A great show. Wow, that's really weird.
You were having some turmoil. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got a relationship. You got turmoil. What you gonna
yeah.
do?
What are you gonna do? Yeah. Yeah. Preach it to the choir.
See, she says that, and I was gonna lean over and say, "I love you."
Oh, baby, I love you too. You know
oh,
that.
Oh, made the sound go out.
I love you, baby. It's all
so, yeah, so we're going to go see this movie without your husband, right?
Hell yeah.
All right.
I go to lunch at 12:30. I'll be checking up on y'all.
You don't want to know what I'm going to make her do for the Red Vines, dude.
Oh. This is wrong.
Yep. So, what are we talking about today?
This week, well, P.S. I Love You.
Oh, yeah.
P.S. I Love You.
With This Is Sparta's
Gerard Butler.
Yeah. Love Hillary that dude. Swank.
Yep, Hillary Swank.
Directed by Richard LaGravenesse, who did The Fisher King, Bridges of Madison County, Paris Jetemé. Have you seen that?
Paris Jetem.
Jetem. I was just going to ask.
Check you out, Frenchie.
Hey, he's a French guy.
Yeah, man.
The Horse Whisperers, Freedom Riders, which also, I believe, had Hillary Swank in it.
Yeah.
The Ref, Little Princess, the 1995 version.
I love The Ref. Oh, and The Fisher King is one of my favorite movies, like, ever.
Now, those are all movies that he wrote. He's directed Paris Jetem,
right?
Freedom Riders, and P.S. I Love You.
P.S. I Love You.
So, first of all, Hillary Swank in a romantic comedy. When I think of or see Hillary Swank, I don't think of all. She doesn't look like a girl to me. I don't say that. I mean, I guess there's no way to say
that. Hey, this is the
nicely.
Most she's looked like a girl.
By the end of this movie, I was really thinking she was a girl.
Yeah.
And so that was good. She had longer hair, which.
But she had long hair and Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, but it was always tied back.
Right.
Yeah. She was a boxer. Her rippling muscles.
I think in Million Dollar
Chad's
Baby.
Kicking Chad's ass.
Million Dollar Baby, I felt that she was a girl boxer, right. So that was a girl.
Oh, yeah. And
was then, that boss?
And then in, what was that movie that was like a...
Boys Don't Cry.
No, with the plagues.
Oh, the Reaping?
Oh, the Reaping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. I had him rent it for me, and I didn't watch it.
She was not a girl in that movie either.
Yeah.
She's very androgynous.
Well, right. She was very feminine in this, which is kind of
yeah,
nice to see.
Nice to see.
It was very nice to see.
She was very feminine in this.
And Gerard Butler, you know, like I said, the only thing I've ever seen him in was 300. It was, first of all, strange seeing him without a beard.
Yeah. I almost didn't recognize
yeah,
him.
Yeah. No, I knew he was in it, so I was just like, but.
And I did too, but until you guys said something like, this is Sparta or something, then I was like, oh, that's him. Because I didn't know. Because he was like a goofy guy in this, you know, kind of fun-loving.
He was thinner.
Yeah.
A lot thinner, a lot less muscular.
Yeah.
I loved him. I thought he was adorable.
He was very charming in it.
Yes, he really was.
Totally different than 300.
Yeah, of course.
And wow, he was a lot of fun.
He really was, yeah.
So... the movie is about these two relationship. You know, they got ups and downs like anybody's relationship, like we said earlier.
Yep, they're a married couple.
And...
Oh, he just adores his wife.
Yeah.
Right. And then he dies.
He dies, passes away.
Yeah. But then he set up this program. I guess he had cancer for a long time.
He had a brain tumor and he probably knew he was going to die. So he sets up these elaborate events to kind of help her move on in the form of a series of letters that get delivered in unorthodox ways.
Right. And so this is about her journey of getting over the death of her husband.
Yeah.
And
with his help.
Yeah.
Right. From the grave, which is, you
know. It's touching.
Really nice.
Yeah. It's a very sappy little story. I liked it.
It's sappy and saccharine and every other word.
Sweet.
And sweet.
Sugar-coated goodness.
But you know what? You still have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not knocking. I liked this movie.
Yeah, no.
It was cool.
Quite a bit. We watched it on Blu-ray, which when they go to Ireland and the countryside and just so vivid and beautiful.
Yeah, we're taking a road trip. I mean, a boat trip.
you take a boat. I'm riding a plane.
Hell yeah. We're going to Ireland.
And so what I say about this movie is if you love The Notebook, you'll also like this movie too, because I think it was on par with Notebook. Nowhere near as good, because Notebook is like one of the best romantic films come along in the last 10 years, but this was really, really good. I enjoyed the heck out of this movie.
Me too. No, I had a really good time watching it. There were some very funny moments and some very touching moments. Her friends, played by Lisa Kudrow and
Gina Gershon.
Right. And unrecognizable Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
She had something done. I don't know what
and
it was.
Some kind of facial nose thing.
Maybe a nose thing? I don't know.
And she's got a little bit of weight on her, which
is
nice.
But she looks great.
Yeah.
Oh, she looked
I like
fabulous.
That. Yeah.
She looked really great and
but
funny
I miss
as hell.
The old Gina Gershon. I'm sick and tired of these women changing themselves. When you get known for something, don't go changing your looks around.
Yeah.
Especially
Prime
when you're
example,
known as being
Jennifer
a beautiful
Gray.
Woman like her or Jennifer Grey or Sarah Jessica Parker. You know.
Oh, Meg Ryan.
Well, Giant Change?
Nothing like her.
Nah, but I know what you're talking about. Wow. With, Who would you say? Jennifer?
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No.
Jennifer Grey?
Jennifer Grey. Yeah.
Jennifer Grey,
she looks nothing like she used to.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah.
She went from that trademark cutesy pie little face with the nose.
To looking like, to looking like.
Oh, Tatum
O'Neal. She went to looking like Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, she does kind of resemble Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of killed her career. She did. It did literally. I mean, didn't she have? She had a TV show for half a second where she played herself,
right? Or a character like herself that had a nose job.
Yeah.
And now you can argue to me that Sarah Jessica Parker has never had a better career since she got her nose fixed. But Gina Gershon had a good career before it. I don't know. I'm just disappointed in these women.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, I don't know. I did. She wasn't completely unrecognizable. I knew it was her, but I also knew she looked different. But she looked great.
Yeah, she really did. Yeah. It's nice to see people who you age with and they age and they look great. Lisa Kudrow, oh my God, that lady's hysterical.
She was hilarious. Yeah, she does comedy like nobody's business.
She's really an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the heck out of her.
Yeah, it was
little sexy jokes and things.
Very good. And how about Harry Connick Jr.?
Oh yeah.
Come on.
He is always fantastic and a scene stealer, as he was in this movie.
In this movie, he was just so great. He was so neurotic.
Yeah.
You know?
Loved him quite a bit.
Yep.
I got a thing for those pathetic people.
He pulled off pathetic really well, too. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I thought that was...
I don't know how his music career is going, and he certainly doesn't make a lot of movies, but when he is in a movie, he just steals a show. I mean, we could talk about Copycat or Independence Day.
Yeah.
The man is just... He should make more
Hope
movies.
Hope Floats. He's in Hope Floats. He was great.
Yep. But he was great in this one too. It was really neat.
So, Richard LaGranesse, he's a great writer director. He brings together all these actors and actresses and makes another fantastic movie.
Yep.
I have to go with 5 stars on it.
Four for me. I really enjoyed it.
Three and a half.
Half. The heck is a half?
Hey, I'm entitled. I can.
Yep.
You
know. Hey,
I'm entitled too. I got an edit button.
We'll be editing later as well.
Don't miss
hit that edit button. Hit it.
Domestic bliss at its finest, people.
It's all good.
Yeah, no, that 3 stars is high praise coming from you, man. You're kind of brutal.
Yeah.
So next up, we saw Journey to the Center of Earth in 3D.
I wasn't there for that. Don't know that I necessarily am worried about it.
I don't know.
It looked interesting, but it's going to take more than. There's got to be a movie I would be interested in seeing, regardless, not just for 3D.
Here's from the previews, you think just another throwaway Brendan Fraser little movie thing. But we went to see it because it was in 3D.
That's what I'm saying. It would take more than that for me to want to see. Like Beowulf, I wanted to see in 3D, but I just wanted to see it. I still saw it even though I didn't get to see it in 3D.
But see, now that's why I went to see this in 3D, because 3D nowadays is so amazing. We've talked about it before.
Exactly. Beowulf. No,
I know. I ducked twice.
I know.
Journey to the Center of Earth, 4 times.
That's cool.
I ducked.
I do want to see this new 3D. I want to see all that stuff, but I don't want to see it just for the sake of seeing that. I still want to see what I feel. A movie that I'm really interested in seeing. You know,
this movie was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was a lot of fun. And you know what? It wasn't, even if it wasn't 3D, the story wasn't too bad or anything like that either. It was pretty entertaining.
Well, tell us all about it.
Well, it was directed by Eric Brevig, who's done the visual effects for Men in Black, Signs, Pearl Harbor. There's a lot of visual effects in his background. He also did the special effects on Captain EO, of all things.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which was a 3D thing back then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
So he's had experience in this area. And Michael Weiss, he wrote it, and he hasn't written anything of any other big screen movies. But Michael D. Weiss, who's, I don't know if that's the same person or not, because it says alternate names, Michael Weiss. He had written The Butterfly Effect 2, which I hadn't seen, but I enjoy loving The Butterfly Effect, the first one.
I didn't know there was a 2.
Yeah, I think there's even a 3 now.
Yeah, I think
God.
2 went directly to video.
And so did 3.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I think probably 3.
3 is one of those things you can get on your cell phone.
Direct to cable.
Yeah, whatever.
He also wrote Crocodile.
Oh, no, wait. direct to sci-fi.
There you go.
Yeah. Octopus, Octopus 2, and U.S. Seals 2.
Wow, he is the sequel master.
He even wrote, "I'll always know what you did last summer."
You gotta be kidding.
Oh my god. Wow. You're really not helping this movie's case one bit, Walt.
Nonetheless, here we have Brendan Fraser, who's a school professor. They're getting ready to close down his department at the school because it's not very popular. It's like kind of like a history class.
It's Vulcanology kind of thing.
Like Spock?
No, about volcanoes and things like that.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know.
He's like a volcanologist, seismic and he teaches a class on volcanology and seismic
activity.
Yeah, it's something like that. I can't remember the exact term of it. And they're getting ready to close his department because, one, they don't want to fund his program anymore, and he's kind of run out of money and things like that. And him and his brother had started this 10 years prior. Well, his brother, who was really onto something as far as looking for a center of the earth kind of thing, and him and a few other people, and they called them Vernians after Jules Verne, who had this whole basis that there's another world in the middle of the earth. And based on where these rings of fire are at, you can go into like an open crevice of the earth and fall into it, la-di-da-di-da. So the guy at his school decides that he doesn't want his department anymore, goes in there and heckles him, whatever, and he's like, oh God, you know, can my life get any worse? I gotta figure out some way to keep this going. And that same weekend, his dead brother's wife drops off his nephew. So she calls him. She's like, hey, didn't you remember you were going to spend a few weeks with him? And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember. So they go to spend some quality time together because the kid, you know, he does need a male figure in his life. And so it starts out where the kid, and it's the kid from, like, Bridge to Terabithia and what other movies?
RV.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Zathura also.
Zathura? I didn't realize he was in.
He was in Polar Express as well.
Nuh-uh.
Josh Hutcherson, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Huh. I like that kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Bridge of Terabithia was a great movie.
I love that movie. It's a great movie. Anyway, so he's like, okay, you're going to go with me because they find these clues that meanwhile his sister-in-law had dropped off this box with the kid that's got some stuff of his brother's from 10 years ago. So he finds these clues. He's like, oh my God, he really found something. So they go to find this journey to the center of the earth.
Well, they found a book. He had the book in there and with notes written in it from the brother.
Yeah.
You know.
In his Verne's book. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then it has some cute little moments where they go and they pay this guide. There was this other scientist in Iceland,
mm-hmm.
and he was onto something along with his brother, and it's this guy's daughter that lives there now because they were opening up this whole, like, a scientific
seismological lab or something like that.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, don't you know he's dead? Oh, la-di-da-di-da. And anyway, so she takes them off the next day to this. She's like
so she's the guide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cute because they're like, I've got dibs on the guide. I've got dibs on the... And these kids, 14, you know.
Right.
And she's pretty hot. She's a cute little girl. So, and they go down into the center of the earth. And
I need a breeze.
Ensue.
Yeah, the hijinks definitely ensue. It's cute. It's really a fun movie. I can't tell you all of it, so.
You're right on.
Yeah.
No, but you did it. You told the story about how they get to where they're going to try to get to the center of the earth. Obviously, we know they get there. That's the whole name of the movie.
Yeah.
But Brendan Fraser, he's like a, you know, the stereotypical bachelor. The house is a mess and everything. And so when his kid shows up to spend a couple weeks with him, he's like, oh, great. And the kid doesn't want to be there any more than he does because he's all bummed out. His dad died, you know, not too long ago. And, you know, he's just like a typical 14-year-old.
He didn't even know his dad.
Oh.
Yeah, it's 10 years.
All right. He's typical.
He's still bummed.
He's a typical teenager, you know, playing the video games, and you know, in fact, he even makes mention that, you know, keep the fridge stocked with Mountain Dew, and I'm set. You know?
Yeah, and TiVo, a Family Guy of all things. That was great. Oh, it's really cool to see how they get back from the center of the Earth. You know, they have to figure out all these ways to get back. And
yeah, that would be interesting.
You know, and if they try to get back alive.
Right.
Yeah. And
I saw the trailer.
Cool.
I saw the dinosaur.
Well, that's one of the things that chases after them. You know,
I'm sure there's other things. Yeah. It's great.
It was cool. It was fun. Cool.
So, final verdict?
I'd give it a 3. I mean, it was liked it enough, you know.
I would go with a 3, but with the 3D, I'm going to go with a 4.
Yeah, the 3D for this movie, it worked all around. It was a lot of fun.
So go to the theater and see why you can in 3D, because it was really fun. Cool. I mean, it was a fun ride. And the kids were loving it, you know. That's and cool. I said, 4 ducks.
So. You ducked 4 times. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
4 ducks, 4 stars.
That's right.
If you'd have ducked one more time, would you have gotten 5?
It's pretty good. They did stuff. This was what's great about this 3D stuff. They did things in 3D that you would never expect, like gross stuff. You
know, I know. It was cool.
I'm not going to tell you any scenes or something, but let's say somebody spits at you and you get spit on.
Well, they show that on the trailer. They show the dinosaur spit come at you.
Okay, that's one.
Okay.
No, there's other things, too. Okay. It's great. Yeah. They have a lot of fun with the 3D. You know, and we just went over Eric Breivik's biography? No.
His portfolio?
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Portfolio is good. His work experience, whatever.
Filmography.
Yeah.
And so he's got all the special effects. So now, not just one thing is doing the special effects. Now, what are you going to do with it? You know, and make it part of the story, so to speak, that, you know, it's fun. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And you duck. That's what 3D is about, is that you want to have stuff come out at you.
Right.
And there's some beautiful scenes in here, too, where it just takes your breath away. You know, I'm talking Ratatouille, Cars, beautiful type animation things and such. And it's really nice.
I like that, you know, not only has 3D technology come an awful long way, but you also get some better glasses with the whole experience.
Yeah. No more of that red and blue lens stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's
nothing
a lot of fun.
Being discolored and things.
Yeah, no.
That's pretty cool.
And now they have like little recycle bins at the end of the movie too, where you can go and it says you can either keep your glasses or you can recycle them here. So that's really good, you know, because you start to wonder after seeing 4 or 5 of these 3D movies, what are they doing with all the damn glasses?
Yeah.
So.
And 3D is apparently coming to the home in that Miley Cyrus, her concert movie that was in 3D this past winter, it's coming out to your home. Disney Channel is going to have a showing of it, and you get 3D glasses for that. You can pick them up at Walmart. Mm. I don't mean to plug them, but...
But that's where they are, so...
That's where they are. And they are the red and blue ones, though. So the 3D in the theaters hasn't come to home yet, but they're going to try it again with the red and blue lens things.
Let's see.
And,
I don't know. I got enough pairs of my new glasses. I just might try that out.
Yeah, you got it out. So we have a 12-year-old daughter, so she's definitely going to check it out. So I'm all for the 3D. And they had more previews of 3D movies coming out.
Right.
Not the least of which is Bolt, which is this special effects dog. It's a Disney movie, animated movie. And this dog is like a, you know, action star in the movies. But he's a regular dog. But he doesn't know it any better. So he gets on the loose trying to save the girl from the movie, the actress, little girl actress. And so he's out on his own trying to find this girl in his little adventure. He has a little guinea pig hamster type thing running around in one of those little plastic balls and stuff. It looks so much fun.
And coincidentally, that has Miley Cyrus in it too.
Well, there you go.
So,
So I'm looking forward to that. It just looked like a bunch of fun.
Okay.
So your next movie?
Huh?
You guys are going to talk about Cherry Baby?
Oh, Jeff saw Cherry
oh,
Baby.
Oh, Cherry Baby.
Yeah, I watched Cherry Baby with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Cherry Baby we can't talk about on this show.
No.
Yeah, no.
Well, I guess we could, but...
Welcome to Skinamaniacs. actually, in this movie, we could talk about this one on the Skinamaniacs. You see... Quite a bit of old Maggie Gyllenhaal in this one.
Really?
Okay.
More than in The Secretary?
Oof. No, actually, no. But, okay, so Maggie Gyllenhaal is Sherry. She's just fresh out of prison, moved into the halfway house. And the whole story is her trying to get back into her life, trying to reconnect with her daughter, who's been living with her brother and his wife for the past 5 years while she was in jail for robbery. and just the setbacks and everything that she kind of suffers and going through. She, you know, her daughter, you know, at first seems very open to it, but really starts to become kind of afraid of her. And
how old's her daughter?
Daughter's looks like her daughter's about 5 or 6. She was very small when she left, but somehow she recognized her.
Okay.
But and so she's trying to do that, and she's running into setbacks, and some of the setbacks she makes her happen herself. You know, she's trying to go to groups. I mean, it's actually pretty funny. It's like the she's in her first day in the halfway house. She meets the guy that runs the halfway house, and like, you know, he's like, "Hey, you want to give me some coffee?" And it's like, "Sure." And then 30 seconds later, they're screwing. You know. And I was like, but she just got out of prison, so I guess. But some of the things were, like, really hard to watch. Like, she's trying to find a job, and she ends up having to compromise herself just to get a, you know, a simple job.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of things that are stacked against her, and it's really about her trying to deal with it. And, you know, she's the only other person I really recognized from anything else was, and I can't think of the guy's name, is the guy that played Machete in the Machete trailer. He's in all he's in all the Robert Rodriguez movies.
Yeah.
Heat. You know,
Danny Trejo.
Yeah,
Danny
that's
Trejo.
Him.
Thank you. I can never remember his name. Was in this, and he was really, really good. He ends up kind of being her boyfriend, even though he's
I've always wanted to see that movie. Wow.
But she's actually, you know, she's really strong, but she has, like I said, she has weaknesses. She's a former drug addict, and she just has moments where she screws up, you know,
the reform to society kind of thing.
But she's all, like I said, she's having, you know, the whole thing is she's having a really hard time reconnecting with her daughter, which is right now her sole purpose in life, and it's really what she's going through, just to try to be a good enough mom to possibly be back with her daughter again.
Wow.
Some very good performances, some very gutsy performances. I mean, you know, her character is not always likable,
right?
You know, her character can be quite unlikable at times, and you know, really, really well acted by her. Danny Trejo was really good.
She was talked to Oscar nominations. This came out in 2006. They thought she was going to get an Oscar nod for this.
Right.
I can see why. You know, I mean, this was really her movie. You know, it's really, you know, she did so well in this. You know, and seeing that made me really excited. Makes me really excited to see her in the Dark Knight movie when it comes out.
Right.
You know. I've seen her in other things, and The Secretary was great, but this movie was really good. You guys should definitely see it.
Really?
Good. Yeah. Definite solid 4 stars, no doubt.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Good performance.
We've owned it for a while. We just haven't bothered to watch it.
Yeah, throw it in when you get a chance. Yeah.
And Lori Collier, she was the one who wrote and directed this movie,
mm-hmm.
and she was nominated for the dramatic prize at Sundance.
Oh, very good.
For this movie. So.
It was, like I said, a good solid movie. You know, very, very thought-provoking, entertaining, you know, a little hard to watch at times, a little disturbing.
I love pathetic characters, and she sounds right up my alley.
She
really,
I mean, you know what, she is pathetic, but there's you also see there's a strength to her.
Yeah,
and,
oh yeah.
And even though she's not always perfect, you still find yourself rooting for her.
You know, those real-to-life kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known women like that, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, very good movie. And, any accolades that it has had received are well earned.
That's
Maggie
great.
Gyllenhaal, you can't go wrong with her.
No, she's great. And, like I said, once again, she was great in this.
That's great.
Good. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of The Cinemaniacs. Be sure to vote for us at Podcast Alley and email us with your comments, questions, concerns, suggestions.
And where's that at?
podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Visit our website, thecinemaniacs.com, and we have a comment section there. You can leave notes about our episodes, as well as see our back catalog of movies, of shows.
Sounds like fun.
Have a good night.
Later.
You too. Say what is space and now. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping. I'm freaking out. Yeah.
Busy talk, I see.
Be suicidal.
That's right.
Don't rub your butt on the carpet.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, that's better.
It just feels good. Yeah. You have a very soft Berber ear. It's like nice.
Hey, Berber.
Whatever it is.
It's like a
fabric.
That's like a twist knot 1-inch pile.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A twist knot 1-inch pile.
I love the way your twist knot 1-inch pile feels. And my delicate parts.
It's all about the padding, dude. Can't beat the good padding.
That's right. Ha ha ha.